A reason for using psychology.
Modern psychology has taught us, if a man believes he is good-looking, he is likely to be more self-assured and confident. Therefore, it makes sense that, if a man thinks he is loved by God, he is more likely to act like a Christian. The only problem with this psychological paradigm is, if you convince a lost person he's saved, he is less likely to seek salvation, and just acting like a saint doesn't make you one. In fact, up until the 20th century, evangelicals spent the bulk of their time convincing moral and religious people they needed to get saved. Today the pendulum has swung to the opposite side. Now we try to convince people who've said a salvation prayer, but are unsure of their salvation they are the apple of God's eye.
Whatever happened to the sovereignty of God?
Contrary to popular opinion, it's ultimately up to God when, and how he saves someone. At least this was the understanding of almost all evangelicals before the 20th century. Listen to the famous Arminian evangelist, John Wesley: holy faith is the gift of God, and he is never straitened for time. He can as easily give this faith in a moment as in a thousand years. He frequently does give it on a deathbed, in answer to the prayer of believers, but rarely, if ever, to those who had continued unholy, upon the presumption that he would save them at last. We know not why he bestows this on some, even before they ask for it, some unquestionable instances of which we have seen, on some after they have sought it but a few days, and permits other believers. A believer, as this case, is someone who seeks salvation, but who is not yet born again, to wait for it, perhaps 20, 30, or 40 years, nay, and others till a few hours, or even minutes, before their spirits return to him. Here, Wesley speaks of physical death. Before the 20th century, most evangelical pastors and evangelists understood the difference between those God had saved, and those who merely had made a profession of faith. This is what set evangelicals apart from the majority of American Christians. Evangelicals were called Bible thumpers, because they refused to compromise the born-again standard. Before the 20th century, evangelists and pastors encouraged believers who weren't yet born again to use the means of grace as they waited on God for salvation. Today, there's no more waiting at the altar. Salvation is guaranteed if you just repeat after me.
Franklin Graham gets saved.
Franklin Graham, the son of the famous evangelist, is a good example of someone who was confused by modern theology. When he made a decision for Christ at age 8, he assumed he was saved, but his parents knew from his attitude and behavior he wasn't born again. The time came in 1974 when his father told him, "You're going to have to make a choice, either to accept Christ or reject him. You can't continue to play the middle ground. Either you are going to choose to follow and obey him, or reject him." Franklin was 22 years old. It had been 14 years since he made his decision for Christ. But he knew deep down that something wasn't right. "I felt I was a Christian. I found myself talking as though there were two people struggling inside of me." Franklin didn't know it, but his struggle of faith was a typical example of what happens when someone is illuminated by the Holy Spirit before repenting. "I thought back to the time I made a decision for Christ at age 8. I'm not sure I really understood what I had done. All I knew was that I wanted the big empty hole inside of me to be filled. I read Romans 8:1 over and over and realized that I was not in Christ. More than anything else, I wanted to be, but didn't know how." That night, Franklin Graham repented, and God saved him. He was born again,
assuring everyone they are saved.
As mentioned earlier, Billy Graham, the most famous modern evangelist, believes only a portion of the people who come to the altar are saved at that moment. For this reason, the Graham organization considers their efforts to be little more than a mass movement, a crowd following a crowd, a wave of religious emotion which quickly evaporated, if not accompanied with competent counseling and concerted follow-up. Since modern evangelism doesn't require water baptism with all it entails, and church attendance with the possibility of further instruction, the vast majority of people who say a formula salvation prayer are like seeds that die for lack of soil. Matthew 13:21. When many pastors and evangelists tell people who've come forward in altar calls they are saved, they do so in the hope that God will save them sometime in the future. But some regenerate sinners assume from this message they've got everything they need. It's like handing a teenage boy a condom and then asking him not to engage in sex. The Christian condom is telling seekers they are protected from hell, no matter how they live their lives. It's like telling an AIDS patient he doesn't have a disease. Not only will he die a horrible death, but he'll most likely infect many others along the way. Despite the fact that 83% of Protestant pastors describe their churches as evangelical, many congregations are morally no different than heathen. American evangelical Christianity is in a lukewarm state for which revival seems unlikely. After 100 years of automatic salvation for all who come to the altar, we've lost the desire and the ability to determine if people are truly Christian. If a sustainable revival is ever to come to America, we'll need to return to pre-20th century standards. We must teach the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of God's sovereignty, the expectation of holiness in sense, and reliance on the workings of the Holy Spirit. Scriptural and historical facts are irrefutable. In preparing to write this book, I've read hundreds of descriptions of born-again conversions from the 1st to the 20th centuries. The similarities were striking. When one realizes these saints came from many different cultures over a period of almost 2,000 years without knowing what others had experienced, the conclusion is obvious. The born-again experience is not a mere state of mind, it's a miracle.